The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. Have you ever asked yourself the question, who is Jesus, or what does it mean to be saved? How about questions like, what is eternity? Or is there a real God, and where is he when I'm really suffering? These are just some of the topics we explore every day on this program. In these challenging times, we believe that God's Word is the source to all our answers. So if you can, get out your Bibles, and let's join Pastor Dudley right now with his message for us today.
Well, I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. If you were not here last week, we started a brand new series going through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah took place 455 BC. That's about 2,500 years ago, okay? But you have to go back 130 years before the book of Nehemiah to understand Nehemiah, because 130 years before was when Jerusalem was destroyed. And here's the story, we looked at it last week. The king of Babylon, his name was King Nebuchadnezzar. This is 130 years before Nehemiah shows up. Nehemiah travels to Jerusalem. He probably did not go across the desert. He probably went up the Euphrates River. Those two rivers, that's called Mesopotamia, and that's really where Iran and Iraq is today, but he probably traveled up the Euphrates River, and then he came down to Jerusalem. Now, write this down, 2 Kings 25. Just write it down somewhere, 2 Kings 25. It's the last chapter in the book of Kings. And I did not tell you what happened last week, and I didn't take the time to read how Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. But you can read about it in 2 Kings 25. He went to Jerusalem, and he laid siege to it, which means he encompassed the city with his army. And literally for 4, 5, 6 months, no one could leave, no one could get in. They literally starved the people to death. And one night, in the middle of the night, the king of Judah, who was inside the city of Jerusalem, he and his soldiers, they broke out of the walls. They snuck out in the middle of the night and fled for their lives. That was their only hope, because they were going to die of lack of food inside the city. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar hears that King Zedekiah has fled the city. So 2 Kings 25 explains in detail how they chase after Israel's army. They catch King Zedekiah. And what Nebuchadnezzar does to the king of Judah, he grabs his children, puts them right in front of King Zedekiah, and he kills his children. And then he gouges out the king of Judah's eyes, King Zedekiah. He gouges out his eyes. So the king of Judah, the last thing that he saw was his children getting killed. The rest of his life, his eyes are gouged out, but he has that memory. Nebuchadnezzar then takes Zedekiah and all the Jews living in Israel, and they take him all the way across that desert, and they are held as captives in Babylon. For 50 years, the Jews are under the thumb of King Nebuchadnezzar. And one generation dies off, one generation is born. Eventually, Persia conquers Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar's gone. Now the king of Persia is in charge of the Jews. His name is Cyrus. Cyrus the Great, they called him. Well, several kings come and go. Now Cyrus is gone. Now the king is King Artaxerxes. And this is where Nehemiah, in the year 455, somewhere he's born in exile. He's a Jew. He's never even been to Jerusalem. But he's in exile and he becomes the cupbearer to the king of Persia, King Artaxerxes. And you know what a cupbearer is? He's the guy, whenever the king wants to eat or he wants some wine, he has someone who tests the food, someone who tests the wine in case, not in case the wine is bad, in case someone is trying to poison the king. So he has to find a trusted servant who's willing to taste the wine to make sure it hadn't been poisoned. So Nehemiah, he tastes the wine. If he doesn't die, then the king gets some wine. He's the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes in Persia. And one day, he's out in front of the palace. This is all in chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1. We looked at this last week. Some travelers came from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. And Nehemiah saw the travelers and he asked, can you tell me what it's like back in Jerusalem? Can you tell me about the Jewish remnant? Can you tell me about the city of Jerusalem? And the travelers explained to Nehemiah that the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish remnant, that they're discouraged, that they're disgraced, and that the walls of the city lie in ruin and the gates have been destroyed. And when Nehemiah hears this is all chapter 1 Nehemiah, the Bible says that he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. He began to weep and he began to pray. And we talked about this, and this is so important that you understand, that when he prays, we looked at this last week, he began to confess his sins and the sins of his forefathers, because he realized that the reason the Jews were in captivity and the reason that Jerusalem lies in ruins is because Israel had turned their back on God. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, he begins to confess his sins and he begins to repent of his sins and his forefathers' sins. And I don't know if you know this, we talked about this, how this whole story really has a lot to do with what's going on in our world today. Yesterday, if you paid attention to the news, finally something good on the news, there was a prayer service that was held on the mall in Washington, D.C., and there were Christians from all over the country that had gathered to pray and to confess our sins and the sins of our forefathers. We talked about this last week, that when you come to church this week, we have these signs that are made called Pray for America. And when you leave today, as you leave church today, you can pick up one of these signs. And just as Nehemiah prayed for his people, the nation of Israel, you and I need to pray for our country, because our country's problems are not going to be resolved by the Republicans. They're not going to be solved by the Democrats. The only person who can fix our country is Almighty God. He's the only one. So on the way out today, make sure you pick up your sign. So we come to chapter 2. Everybody say chapter 2. It's been 4 months since chapter 1. I want you to take your Bibles and let's read through some of the story in Nehemiah chapter 2. It says in the month of Nisan. Everybody say Nisan. Say it again. That is the month of March. If you go back and look at chapter 1, verse 1, you see in the month of Kislev. Everybody say Kislev. That's November. So Nehemiah chapter 1 takes place in November. We're 4 months later by the time you come to Nehemiah chapter 2. And what you need to know about this is that for 4 months, Nehemiah has been praying. And he's been praying for his people. He's been praying for an opportunity to one day have a chance to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild those walls. So look at chapter 2, verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Everybody, try to say that. Artaxerxes. Say it. This is just free advice. Always be leery of a king who's got the word tax in the middle of his name. All right? Just this little warning there. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I, Nehemiah, took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. And the last line in verse 2 says, I was very much afraid. Now, why was he afraid? Well, because in the presence of a Persian king, servants like Nehemiah were expected to be polite. They were expected to be courteous. You were never to show emotion, and certainly you were never to ask the king any questions. That could cost you not just your job, that could cost you your life. Well, he's been praying for 4 months for God to open up a door, an opportunity to talk to the king, and all of a sudden the king is now talking to him. Yes, he's afraid. Again, you would never ask the king any questions. Certainly, you would never ask the king for vacation time. It's an easy way to get your head chopped off. Which leads me to ask you this question. Is there anything in your life right now that you're afraid of? And I'm not talking about insects like a spider or a bug, but something that God has called you to do or something that God has called you to be, whether to become a Christian, to be baptized, to follow God with all of your heart, is there anything that you're afraid of? I will tell you that Nehemiah was afraid because he knew that following God's will could cost him his life. He was risking everything. He was afraid. Look at verse 3. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. You know what that is? Long live the king. It's always important when you're going to ask the king a question to butter him up first. You want to stroke the king's ego if you have a chance. May the king live forever. And then he answers, why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And verse 4 says, the king said to me, what is it that you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. Mid-sentence, mid-conversation, he prays. He prays. Have you ever done that? Someone asked you a question, and they said, you're not one of those Christians, are you? Or why do you go to that church? Or why do you read your Bible? Or why do you pray before? And you ever said, Lord, 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 help me answer this question. And then you start to answer the question. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. The king Artaxerxes says, Nehemiah, what is it you want? Nehemiah prayed and then he answered the king. Look at verse 5. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, Jerusalem, where my fathers are buried so that I can do what? So that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me. So I set a what? Time. Now, if it were me, I would have said, thank you, king, and I'd been out the door. If I got permission. But that's what Nehemiah, he stays, he keeps asking more questions. He's not done asking the king for favors. Look at verse 7. I also said, hey, there's one more thing. If it pleases the king, could I have some letters on your stationery to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates? That's that area up there between the two rivers, the Mesopotamia. In other words, what he's asking here is, I need a passport. And he says there in verse 7, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Verse 8, and there's one more thing. Can I have a letter to Asaph? He's the keeper of your forest. So he will just give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city walls. Oh, and there's one more thing. I'd like to build a house that I'll be living in. And verse 8 says, and because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governor of the Trans-Euphrates and gave him the king's letters. This story is so amazing, I don't even know where to begin. This guy is the slave. He's a cupbearer. He's been waiting and praying for 4 months for God to open up a window, a door that he can have a conversation with the king. And in chapter 2, God answers that prayer. He opens up the door for success. Nehemiah boldly speaks to the king. He says, I know I'm just a slave here at the palace, but I'm asking you, king, can I go to Jerusalem? Can I lead a building project? Can I rebuild the walls? Can I restore the gates? And I need some letters of recommendation. I need a passport. And one more thing, not only do I need your permission, I'd like to have you supply the resources for this project. And God so moves in the heart of King Artaxerxes that the king says, sure. Number one, write this down. When God opens up a door, walk through that door. If God opens up the door, walk through that door. God showered favor upon Nehemiah. And Nehemiah walks through that door. Do you know what that's called? That's called faith. Faith is following God's plan, even when you don't know how it's going to turn out. If God gives you that opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity and know that God's going to be with you. It was 25 years ago, this week, on Thursday, October the 1st, 25 years ago, that we merged two churches together from two different denominations. You can't merge two churches in the same denomination together. And I remember 25 years ago when Dr. Jess Moody, former pastor of First Baptist Church, Van Nuys, knocked on my door. I was down there at Hillcrest Christian Church. We had this little tiny building, had like 4 sections of 8 pews, and we had about 100 parking spaces. We were running 1,000 people in that little building down there. And Dr. Jess Moody knocked on my door and said, Dudley, we've got this land down here, and we've got the building that was over there. And he goes, what do you think about merging these two churches together? We began to talk, we began to pray, and I remember the day that I took it to the board, and I said to the church board, hey, we have this opportunity, and none of us knew what would happen. We knew there'd be a lot of hurdles, we knew there'd be a lot of difficult moments, but we left that board meeting with this thing, this attitude. We said, you know, if God opened that door, let's keep walking through until God shuts the door. We'll walk down this path till God shuts the door. And that's exactly what we did. The key is to make sure that God's the one that opened that door. How many of you know you just don't want to walk through any door? I want to show you this picture. There's a little bit of history. You know, I like history. This is the Michigan University football team from the year 1901. And the head coach, his name was Fielding Yost. Fielding Yost. He was hired in 1901 to be the head football coach, University of Michigan. He was there for 25 years. His very first season, they went undefeated. They went 10-0. And their last game was the very first football game called the Rose Bowl. And they beat Stanford 49-0. At the end of that season, it dawned on them that not only did they go undefeated, that the opponents never scored a single point the entire season. And if you look, there's a football there, and it's got the number on it, 550-0, which means that year, that first year of the head football coach, they scored 550 points, the opponents scored zero. And they took this photograph. The second year he was there, they went undefeated. The third year they were there, they were undefeated. The fourth year they were there, they were undefeated. They didn't lose a football game until the fifth season. Maybe you probably tried, they probably people trying to get him fired after that first loss there. 5 seasons in. One game they beat the University of, they beat West Virginia 135-0. And in those 25 years, they won 6 national championships. But I told you all that to tell you this story. This football coach was one of these fiery halftime coaches that gave these halftime fiery speeches. And one time, halftime, true story, they were behind at halftime. And he got up and he chewed those kids out and said, "You guys are a bunch of losers. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment to your own family. You're an embarrassment to the university." And he said, "You don't work hard enough. You're too cocky. And we got to start working together." And he said, let's get up. Let's get them in the second half. Let's get them on the second half." And he opened the door and he said, "Let's go." And the whole football team ran, but he'd opened the wrong door. And they ran through that door and they all landed inside a swimming pool. And those football players got out of that swimming pool dripping wet. And they won the second half of that game and defeated the team that they were playing. Make sure if someone's telling you to go through a door, make sure it's the door that God wants you to go through. Can someone say amen? Now let me tell you three things you need when the door opens up. Number one is prayer. He said, "Then I pray to the God of heaven." It's very obvious to me when you study the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah was a prayer warrior. He prayed, we talked about this last week. He prayed in chapter 1. For an open door. In chapter 2, as soon as the door opens, the very first thing that he does when God answers his prayer is to pray again. And notice he didn't pray to a statue. He didn't pray to a candle. He didn't pray to the Persian gods. He prayed to the God of heaven, the living God of this universe. Prayer is entering into the presence of God. Prayer is walking into the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Prayer is taking our burdens to the one who truly cares. Prayer is standing or kneeling on what's called holy ground. Prayer is communicating with the Creator God of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence. Prayer is bringing your hurts and your heartache and your pain to the God of all comfort. Prayer is crying out to the one who is the rock in the midst of the storm. Prayer is communing with the only one that can save your soul. Prayer is touching the one that loves us unconditionally. Prayer is bringing all of your questions to the one person who has all the answers in life. Prayer is reaching out to the God who never sleeps and never tires, and he's never afraid and he's never surprised. Prayer is connecting our lives with the all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God who cares. God opens up that door. He answers Nehemiah's prayer. And the first thing that Nehemiah does is he prays again. And we should do the same.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/ and then the word reach.
Is there some aspect of your life that is in need of restoration, transformation, or all-out resurrection? This is Kayla Francis. If you are in need of the healing, redemptive, and death-to-life power that is only found in Jesus, please join us this Easter at Shepherd Church. Pastored by my dad, Dudley Rutherford, we'll be hosting services from Good Friday all the way through Resurrection Sunday at several locations throughout Los Angeles. In Porter Ranch, Woodland Hills, Agua Dulce, and Simi Valley at our brand new campus. You'll be welcomed into a joyful celebration of the risen Savior, where you'll be met by friendly faces, a powerful time of worship, and an uplifting message from the Word of God. And as always, you can join us online from anywhere in the world. For more information and to plan your visit, please log on to www.shepherdchurch.com. That's www.shepherdchurch.com. Experience the power of the resurrection this Easter with Shepherd Church.
I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.